Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's say hello to Todd Lebo, who is now in studio. Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing all right. My drive into work wasn't nearly as cold as Jake's, apparently. No?
What do you mean?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Elaborate.
I have a sweatshirt on.
So you just went hoodie.
I just went hoodie.
Right. But I went pullover
and
in jacket.
Yeah.
So he really didn't know what he was saying because
no,
I was
didn't.
Asking him about my drive into work because I usually enjoy a little bit of brisk weather with the windows down. And, you know, and Jake was talking about how he's running out there and it's cold and everything. And man, you know, it's colder than it's been. It's actually pullover and jacket weather. And I said, wow, I don't know what you think I'm doing driving to work, but.
Mm.
You know, that's an insult.
Hey, at least he told you to pull over. I mean, you
right.
don't want to.
Well,
you know. Always have to build in some extra time there. You know, maybe it could be traffic.
Yeah. Well,
it could be pull over in whatever time. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Pull over and jacket. I mean, do you want to hear some of the clip? Is that what you guys are pining for?
Yep. Go ahead.
Jerks.
Yes. Are you sure, though? Some of my window down days are a little different than others. What are we looking at?
It was around freezing. It was about 34, Ooh. 35 degrees when I came in this morning.
That would have been windows down in my neighborhood until I get on the highway and then windows up because a 30 to 40 degree breeze in your face can be a brisk splash of reality needed before you do a morning show.
A splash.
You know, my phone said it felt like 27 this morning, but it was 36. So I don't know.
Yeah.
To each their own. To me, it was, damn, I got to get to my car, turn my seat warmer on, and take my 12-minute drive to work.
Maybe a day of shrinkage is what you're trying to say.
It was a pullover and jacket morning.
I wish you would have played my reaction to that.
Oh, we've got that.
Like, what did you say?
It didn't stop.
It was a pullover and jacket morning.
I was going to say, every day is a day.
Pullover and do
me,
what?
So. What?
That is inappropriate, sir. Men have been in trouble for that.
What's wrong with you?
I mean, I guess it's better to pull over before you do it, but
no,
still.
I wear like a three-quarter pullover, you know, like a Nike long sleeve pullover.
No, we don't like the answers for this, no. But it's still brisk outside. It is a splash of reality. No doubt.
Yeah, it's cold.
That's right.
It's a raw day.
It's a pullover and jacket day.
Sure enough, it is.
I don't
is.
Mind it. And yesterday, I was recording some commercials after the show with Todd Lebo helping me out, and he was like a kid in a candy store, very excited, very enthusiastic, and I appreciated his enthusiasm because Todd said, look, I'm excited because there's things to do today. We have different press conferences and Zoom teleconferences. You were fired up. And so this week we had a chance to hear from Eli Drinkwitz, which we played quite a bit of yesterday. And then yesterday, throughout the day, tell us what was on the docket because you had plenty of work to do, Todd.
Oh, so much. It's like when teleconferences become games is what it is. We had Andy Reid and the
right.
three players
Todd was
they
getting,
signed.
He was amped up. He genuine
it's
got me
day.
Pumped up. He's like, dude, we got things
right.
to do today, man. All right. He
and
was pumped.
Peter Vermees was available via teleconference, and those actually overlapped. I mean, double rolling in different rooms.
We got work.
Oh, wow.
So much work. And then Jim
That's
Sterk
good.
And Andy Humes from the compliance department at Mizzou. We're on a Zoom
Andy
call.
Humes.
It was Zooming at 4 o'clock yesterday. So much Zooming. So it was incredibly fun.
Let's pause for a moment and I'll refer to the picture that the Chiefs tweeted out yesterday of Andy Reid at his desk. It looks like he's not in a makeshift basement as John Dorsey once let us
first thing I
all
thought
know
of
where he worked
when he
it
said
wasn't.
This. First thing I thought of was at was least it's not makeshift.
Dorsey probably looking.
But what I could have, should have, would have. Who knows?
That looks like a pretty good makeshift basement there, buddy boy.
Well, I'm pretty sure this is the deal, Stephen. They sent that picture out after this because near the end of the teleconference. Andy was asked to kind of paint a picture of where he's working. And then, so it wasn't long after that, because in this bite, you'll hear him say, I wish I could kind of take you on a video tour, which, by the way, you can, Andy, if you'd like to.
Thank you.
But they did take us on a bit of a snapshot tour of what he's working with down there. But this is Andy Reid describing his work conditions right now. And remember, this is a guy who spends very little time actually at home. I mean, he is at the office a lot. I'm guessing he spent as much time at home here in this last 2 weeks than he's spent in a long time. But here's Big Red talking about his workspace, which sounds a little bit like your workspace, Stephen.
Yeah, I wish I could take you through a virtual tour of this thing. It's kind of classic. I'm sitting in my basement, literally, and I've got an arc trainer sitting here in case I want to jump on that to get a little exercise. I've got my monitor set up along with my computer and my iPad right next to that. And I've got one of my wife's antique tables here, a little coffee table that I'm using to throw everything on. So, but I'm in the basement, yeah. And you know what? It's not bad.
So, Nate, you're in the basement. And Stephen, you're in the basement, right?
I'm not in the basement.
Are you upstairs
I'm
now?
Upstairs.
Okay.
Well, see, what we decided was that we were going to make some changes to the video game room once we learned that everyone was going to have to be going to school online and everything. And so early on in this process, like the first day I was home, I bought a new desk and two new chairs, and so it was going to be much easier to do this. And now I'm in a it's not a makeshift basement, it's a makeshift studio that I believe John Dorsey would approve of. And so what I want, so I'm looking at this picture, and so you see Big Red there. A lot of people commented on what appears to be the sizable scar on his knee. That's we know the Big Red is, he's an ex football player, he's seen it all. But you see a what looks like a big bottle or a big container of Purell hand sanitizer. That's very good. There's a box of something from CVS. I don't know what that is. Maybe some vitamins or something. But right to the right of the Purell, it looks like
some zinc or vitamin C.
Okay, good. There's some gum, some Post-it notes. Got a remote control, a couple of markers. There's his phone right there.
Looks like he's got, the one gum is open and possibly a still wrapped gum next to the Post-its.
He's going through a
gum's
lot of gum.
Open. Yeah, he's chomping.
A lot of gum.
There's no iPad that I see, but there is he's got the laptop, and then he's got his monitor. He's, now, is that the
Broncos
Chiefs
game?
Broncos game?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Chiefs Broncos.
Chiefs are on offense.
He's breaking down some Patrick Mahomes and Drew Lock film on his computer, and he looks to be very pleased, a very comfortable chair there, and a red couch in the background on, as he described, the antique table of his wife that she allowed him to use. Any thoughts there? Anything else that stands out to you about Andy Reid's workspace he's utilizing at home?
I know this has just been really weird for these guys because they get so used to going in there in their area and doing their work, even at this time of year. I mean, he's always breaking film down and stuff, so this is an odd thing for them to be at home. And there was another question on the call about, you know, the Chiefs IT people. I mean, I don't think Big Red's set that thing up himself, right? So I think the guys got over there and hooked all that stuff up for
no
him.
Chance.
So there's...
Did you see the video box on the floor?
Yeah.
Behind the table?
The Asus box.
Yeah, there's zero chance he would. He's like, yeah, I'll set this up.
He did not set that up. So they had to do a lot of work, man, you know, and to get over there and set this up for him and for all the coaches and scouts and everybody to get this done. So this we're doing the same thing, right?
I mean,
we got people
honest,
at home and
everywhere. Here's something that's not being talked about. But going into this draft, like... Not every IT department is equal in the NFL. Like,
sure.
So, I mean, and so what we're going into is, like, how is your IT? What's it look like? Because that's going to play a big part as we're moving forward right now. I mean, are your guys setting the coaches up? Do you have that capability? Can you work remotely?
Are your Zoom meetings working?
Right.
Or are they not working?
I mean, that's not
a bunch, man.
How much are you investing in your IT department if you're an organization, in an NFL organization, and... You know,
this is something where the Bengals are probably falling,
that.
Right?
There's
the
no Bengals, salary cap
the
on
Bengals
that.
The Bengals have to be failing at this, right?
Oh,
they have no scouts.
There's no IT. They got AOL dial-up. You know, they got an AOL account. They're still like Cincinnati Bengals at AOL.com.
Todd Lebo, before we get deeper into what Andy Reid was talking about, I'd like to get your reaction to the news that broke overnight. I know Therese Paylor was the first one to report it. Now everyone else is reporting details that Sammy Watkins reworked his deal to a one-year deal worth $9 million. Incentives could add another $7 million to take it up to $16 million. But most importantly, that means he's going to be back. There's a no-trade clause, and that creates $5 million of cap space for the Chiefs. Your reaction, please.
I think it's good, and I kind of started getting the feeling something might be in the works yesterday. We'll play this soundbite from Coach Reed talking about, now listen, I know he's not involved in these things. This is all Brett's deal. We know that. But nothing happens without him wanting it to happen. And I kind of, when you listen through this soundbite here of him talking about this situation, I thought there was a light at the end of the tunnel on this. Here's Coach Reed talking about Brett Veach getting to work on Sammy Watkins.
As you know, Brett's a great communicator. So if they're doing anything there, he's in it and talking about it. So but nothing's happened at this point. I do know that part.
Andy, with regard to Sammy Watkins, is it feasible, given his contract, that he plays for the Chiefs this season under that contract?
Well, we'll see. We'll see how that goes, Adam. I mean, you know, there's a ton of time here, so but we'll see how all of that works out. And again, right now he's here, right? So I mean, that's the positive part, and we sure like Sammy. I mean, that's a He's done a great job for us, and he's as good a player as he is. He's even a better person. So we've really enjoyed him being here. So, but other than that, I mean, I can't really lead John either way because Brett, that's his area, and I'm honestly not dealing with it.
We'll see. We got a lot of time here. Yeah, we'll see. When I heard him say that, I'm like, you know what? That doesn't sound like he's closing the door or anything. And I didn't know it'd be this quick. I mean, a lot of time is a lot of time. 8 hours? I don't know. It's what they end up kind of doing here. So I'm fine with it, man. I think whatever they can do to keep the weapons that Patrick Mahomes likes on this team is a good thing. And if they can do it for less money than Sammy Watkins was set to make, that's a good thing. Everyone saw the number. The Chiefs were $177 under the cap, and that's no good because they got a draft coming up and all that stuff. Well, now they're $5,177,000 under the cap, but they can still get more space with other players, including if they come to some sort of conclusion with Chris Jones via trade or a long-term contract. And there could be other players who maybe aren't on the team in form of a cut or something like that, or another restructure. The Chiefs are working on this. I mean, there's no doubt. And I know we all want to react right away. Oh, they're only 177 under the cap. Well, that was pretty bad for 24 hours, but it doesn't really matter because, you know what? There's no games happening right now. And the draft hasn't happened yet. And they will work it out. And they can look at their trophy while they do it. So it's been super successful, I think, so far. And I like having Sammy Watkins back. I think he's a fine player. And he has made great plays for them. He hasn't been the best, you know, he's not their best wide receiver, right? I mean, I think we can all agree with that. He's not their best, but I think he helps make everyone better. It's the collective group they have. Because if you have one great wide receiver, like everyone, I think, agrees that Tyreek Hill is the best wide receiver the Chiefs have. But if he's the only guy you got on your team, that's not going to be very good. You got to have some other weapons to spread that defense around. So
Sammy Watkins, you can make an argument being a top 20 guy. And that for him to be your third option, a top 20 receiver be your third option?
They have an embarrassment of riches at wide receiver.
It's fantastic. Well,
the problem with Sammy is, like when you're making the, and trust me, I love Sammy Watkins, but the regular season production is not there for you to make that argument. I mean, the last, and part of that is availability, but I mean, the last 4 years of his yardage, 430, 593, 519, 673. He hasn't even sniffed 1,000 yards since his second year was 1,047. He did have 8 touchdowns that year with the Rams, but I mean, his 2 years with the Chiefs, 519 yards, 3 touchdowns, 673, and 3 touchdowns. But where he has paid huge dividends, Todd, and what I'm going to bring this up to you, his performance in the postseason, he will go down in history when we talk about these teams in 15, 20, 25 years, whatever. No one's going to care that he battled injury and he wasn't super consistent in the regular season. All they're going to care about is 6-for-62 against the Colts, 4-for-114 against the Patriots, 2-for-76 against Houston, 7-for-114 against Tennessee, 5-for-98 against the 49ers in the Super Bowl, the big touchdown that put the game away in the AFC Championship game, the big catch on the drive when they were down and the game was in doubt. That's all we're going to remember. And that's right, because on the biggest stages of his career, when this team was trying desperately to win a Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years, nobody came up bigger than Sammy Watkins on that football team, besides Patrick Mahomes. But of all the weapons, he's been consistent. Every playoff game he made an impact.
Yeah, he's been good in the postseason, for sure. And here's the deal. I mean, like, DeMarcus Robinson got signed this last week to a one-year deal, right? Well, DeMarcus Robinson's just a guy. I mean, he's been in the league for a little bit, and no team was out there wanting to give him more than a one-year deal, right? He's not getting some deal. But you know what? He's Patrick's guy. They got drafted, and they were on the team together, on the scout team and all that. They like each other. Patrick likes Sammy. Sammy's going to be here. You know what I mean? I mean, listen, I do whatever I can to keep Patrick's people around him. And Sammy wants to be here too. You know why? Because it's fun to catch the football from Patrick Mahomes. And it's fun to go to the playoffs. And it's fun to win the Super Bowl. And he's made a lot of money. Sammy Watkins was a top 10 draft pick who's gotten two fat contracts now from other teams, right? So, hey, man, he's out there wanting rings. He's hunting up rings. And I've talked to him. I remember talking to him early this year. I think it was right after Tyreek got his deal done. Just kind of talking to him about finances and money and as a veteran guy and all that stuff. I really think this is a guy who has his stuff in order financially. And he's not gonna get the money that he thought he might get when he signed that contract because he took a pay cut to stay here. But this is someone who understands the importance of team and the importance of that he's already done a nice job with his cash. And there's something to be said for winning and playing in Kansas City, and he likes it here. So I think this is good. There's no bad thing for this, for the Chiefs, I don't think.
All right, what else do you have for us before we break? Well, give us some more from Andy Reid.
The biggest question everyone has at this point, I mean, we're looking, what is it, April 3rd or 4th? April 3rd. April 3rd, we haven't had a sporting event in America since that Thursday morning when the Big East was still playing. That was on the 13th of April or something.
St. John's and Creighton?
March, yeah. That was
the first half they played. That was the last was the last sporting event, and that was
in America. I mean, there's been some stuff happening other places.
Right, they went down
in Brazil doing the UFC and all that stuff. But it's been a while, right? So all people really want to know at this point.
That was on my birthday, I think, on the 12th.
Are we going to have some sports? Are we going to play football? That's what people want to know. And, you know, here's Coach Reid talking about whether or not they will have football this year. At this point, this stuff changes hourly almost. He's confident that they'll be playing football this fall.
I know what you guys know on that. I just from what the commissioner said, that, you know, that they're anticipating having a season. And then I think we're all just taking that part day by day, just see where we go with this thing. But like I said, there are two thoughts on this, and you're never going to be right with one or the other, but I think that the league is very sensitive to what's going on. But at the same time, you know, if this can be beneficial to, and keep people safe, if it can be beneficial to the country and kind of helping things get going again, I think that's a positive. There's two sides to this.
There's definitely two sides to it, and I can see both sides as well. But I also see that this is a big country, and this COVID-19 outbreak is affecting different parts of this country in different ways at this point. And there's no guarantee it's going to be the same everywhere, just because of how the country is and who's following the orders and who's got less people and less area and all that stuff. I mean, you could probably have a draft meeting in Kansas City in a big room at Arrowhead where people are apart. Probably not feasible to do that in New York City or New Jersey right now. And this league is a group of 32 franchises that are supposed to be equal. And they're supposed to be on the same, you know, even playing ground. We talk about maybe your scouting department's better or your IT department's better or your players are better. But they don't want to give some team an advantage and say, you can do this a way and you can't do it this other way. Because there are governments involved in each state. They're different. Cities, counties, states, you know, all that stuff. And the federal government on top of it. So they're going to have to work their way through this thing. I know they want to play football.
And we're less than 3 weeks away. That's the thing. We're 20 days away from the NFL draft date.
Yeah.
I mean, that's you're getting down to crunch time.
And then OTAs are after that and all that. Now, here's the deal.
That's not happening.
We all know this. They can go play football without OTAs. They can get out there and they can play. Okay? And if that ends up happening where they have to cut some of these OTAs out, and maybe those are all voluntary anyways, if they have to cut those things out and only have a 3-day mandatory mini camp and it's in July and you shorten everything else, they can 100% go play football. They absolutely can. There's no question in my mind they can. If they end up doing something like that, being on a team like the Chiefs is a much better deal. You got a coach who's been in for 7 years. You got a whole bunch of players who've been around. I would not want to be a first-year coach and a first-year GM and a first-year everything working your way through this thing. But I don't know what's going to happen with this. I still am holding out hope, and I'm confident that they'll do the right things. But I do see the side of it, because I know a lot of people are bored or frustrated or whatever at home. There's unemployment numbers. There's people who are sick. There's all this stuff. Everyone's looking for a distraction. Sports can always be a great distraction. Whether there's people in the stands and you're tailgating to do all that, doing all those things at the beginning, I don't know. But turning the TV on and watching Patrick Mahomes play can make a lot of people happy. I don't know what they'll end up doing. I don't want to put my name down on April 3rd that they're definitely going to be playing or not. But
put
I know
your name down.
The things that are farther away have a better chance of happening than the things that are closer. That's just how it is.
Okay, Todd Lebo, before we break, we will quickly, I want to mention a sad story from the world of music. Bill Withers has passed away at the age of 81 due to heart complications. One of my favorite voices, as a youth growing up, so many great songs. What's your favorite, Bill Withers song?
You know what I've been listening to? Lovely Day is his, right?
Lovely Day.
I got that one on one of my playlists, my happy playlist. Yeah. I love that song.
Hands down. God, yeah. I love that song.
Great song.
Ain't No Sunshine is good.
That's a good one too.
It's a good one. I don't know.
Use Me is a great one.
I think I like Use Me. Most people would say Lean On Me. That's the most popular.
Yeah, that's
Ain't
the
No
popular
Sunshine,
one.
Lean On Me, Use Me, Lovely Day. Just the two of us.
Yeah.
Just the two of us is good. His music, he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2015 by Stevie Wonder. His music has been sampled and covered by such artists as Black Street's No Diggity, Will Smith's version of Just the Two of Us, Black Eyed Peas' Bridging the Gap, and Twista's Sunshine. Of course, Lean On Me was the title theme of the 1989 movie starring Morgan Freeman, where he said, "Go on, Sam's, jump! That's what you're going to do,
you
Sam's!
Smoke
come
crack,
on!
Sam's! If you're intent on killing yourself, I suggest you do so expeditiously."
His songs were used in the movies The Hangover, 28 Days, American Beauty, Jerry Maguire, Crooklyn, Flight, Beauty Shop, The Secret Life of Pets, Flight. What about the Anchorman soundtrack as well? So.
Yep. So the Secret Life of Pets Part 2, there is a remake of Lovely Day by some current artists, and I can't tell you who they are, but I know I have it on my kids' playlist, and we listen to it all the time, and it's actually really good.
Who are the
artists?
I really
enjoy that. Here, let me tell you.
Nope. Too late.
Why couldn't you tell us right away?
Have you guys ever seen the video clip of when Pete Carroll was coaching at USC and he had Bill Withers come sing Lean On Me to the...
No,
well, he made some of the guys on the team get up and sing Lean On Me, and then Bill Withers came in as a surprise and, like, sang the rest of the song with the guys that were up in front of the whole team singing it.
That's cool.
I cry at everything, but it actually brought tears to my eyes when I was watching it. It was so cool. And you should watch that clip if you get a chance. I love Bill Withers, man.
We will take a break. We'll play some more Bill Withers after this when Todd Lebo has some more for us from Peter Vermees and Jim Sterk and more coming up right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Sometimes all have pain, we all have sorrow, but if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. Lean on me.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We are rejoined by Todd Lebo in studio. Todd, what else do you have for us, sir?
Well, we've got some Peter Vermees for you, manager of Sporting Kansas City, who also had a teleconference yesterday. You know, Sporting got off to a great start, won a couple of matches, and then the season has been shut down at this point. So, you know, they're in a different situation than the Chiefs were, obviously, because they'd already started and won a couple. And they were feeling pretty good about themselves. And now, you know, they're trying to figure out how to do their work as well. They're all home. Peter did say there's only one player on the team who went back to his home, and that was Gianluca Busio, because he is a minor. And so he was able to go back, but he drove back to his home to be with his parents. He didn't fly. That was the ability to get him to do that. So they've got some interesting struggles as well, because, you know, a lot of their players maybe aren't even from this country. I mean, they're staying here, and it's early in the year. You know, they live in apartments, maybe don't have a gym to work out in, and, you know, they're trying to stay in shape the best we can. I know you guys have had the captain on, and I know Nate was talking to Roger Espinoza a couple of weeks ago on the Sporting KC show about running and doing all that. They can do all that stuff, but a lot of these guys, they're not like Peter was talking on the call about. You know, if you're in the NBA, you've probably made a lot of money. It's a little different pay scale. You may have half a basketball court, full court or whatever at your house. You may have a big full gym. A lot of these guys in Sporting Kansas City, they haven't had that kind of money. And if you live in an apartment complex, maybe they've even closed your gym. So this a little different deal to try to stay in shape. Now, of course, you can go out and run all you want, and you can do those things. So they're adapting to different things like that. Now, we were talking last segment about the National Football League and whether or not if you have to wait for all the teams to come back before you can come back and start working things out. This is something that Peter Vermees has been thinking about. So much so that he's actually sent something to the league about what it would look like if they started allowing teams to come back and try to get a little bit of work in.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's something that we have been talking about. I actually provided the league with our staff. We all put together a sort of a protocol of just what individual workouts would look like, basically providing field access, things like that, as you say, in areas that aren't as restricted as others, even provided a video with an electronic diagram as well. And it's something that they're reviewing, I have to say. We don't have any determination yet from them what that looks like, and to your real point, that is whether or not that's going to have to, you know, everybody's going to have to participate in that and be you know, in that space in the country where, you know, everybody gets the okay to go ahead and do it. We haven't gotten that feeling yet, but it is something that we've asked, and we're just waiting for a response.
Sporting KC manager Peter Vermees, always proactive. He's like, hey, listen, I'll find a solution to this problem about working out. Here's how we'll do it. We'll put this many guys on this end of the field and this over here, and they won't touch each other, and we'll do this. But as we said, you're dealing with different countries here, too. You've got Canada. You've got United States. We've got both coasts where different things are happening. And, you know, we'll have to wait and see. That'll be a league decision before. And then on top of that, whatever government says you can do whatever you can do. But Peter's going to have a solution for it. I know that. And that's why I like the fact that Peter Vermees is in charge of Sporting Kansas City.
So to take that a little bit deeper, we had Joey Hardy, who is the team's, you know, sports performance strength and conditioning coach, basically, on the show this week, and he got into more details about it. because, you know, the league was, as if you remember that week that everything was starting to get first put behind closed doors, then canceled. That was all happening within hours, right? Mm-hmm. And so at first, Sporting was supposed to go down and play in Atlanta, and they knew that something was coming, that they were going to start looking at the prospect of playing games behind closed doors and that limitations might be put on practices. So, you know, of course, the way Peter is, he wants to think ahead on these things. They sat down and had a five-minute meeting and scheduled out every training session and how they were going to limit it to 10 people and all the stuff they were going to do. Then when they got to the very next day, realizing we're probably not even going to be allowed to have group practices, they sat down again for another 5 hours and mapped out their plan. The way he described it to me was they were going to have a rotating cycle of three guys in the complex at one time. And one guy would be on the field doing soccer skills work on the field. One guy would be in the training room getting treatment. And one guy would be in the weight room doing all of the, you know, the weightlifting type strength and conditioning stuff. And they would rotate and they would have a built-in amount of time to wipe every piece of equipment down, disinfect everything. Each guy would have his own locker and would be in a different, because they had multiple locker rooms there. So each guy would be in his own locker room so that they wouldn't even share a locker room together. They had that all planned out. And basically the league said, no, you can't even do that.
Right.
And so I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's the program. That and that, dude, you
because
guys would be
league
stunned
wide, right.
If you knew how many.
If you knew how many times. This is why we love Peter Vermees.
I'm just gonna
right?
say.
I mean, Peter Vermees is a guy you'd like to have on a government task force talking about this because he would find a solution.
Yes, and the league. I mean, there have been so many times in the time that Peter Vermees has been running things at Sporting that he has contacted the league to say, guys, there is a way you could be doing this as a league so much better. And think about like how many coaches do that in other sports. Probably in most sports, if a guy comes up with his own game plan and his own system, he's not sharing that with anybody else, let alone the entire league. But Peter Vermees is doing that because he wants to get his guys back on the field in training.
Yep. It's pretty neat. Now, will they get back on the field? Yes, they will. When will it be? We don't know that. And you know, the schedule had already started. And now the question is, again, can you play a full schedule? Can you get this whole thing done? Peter says he'd love to have a full schedule if they can find a way to do it.
So much of this depends on when we return. I mean, I think everybody would say that they would love to see that. We would love to see us play all the games. If that means that we have to play, you know, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, something like that, then I think for most of us, I think we'd say we would do it just because we want to try to uphold the integrity of the competition as best as we can, but I think it's all going to depend on when we return.
That is the big key. Now, they do have an extra month at the end of the regular season now because of the way they've changed the postseason. You recall when Sporting KC won MLS Cup in 2013, it was December, first Saturday of December, same day as the college football championship games for the conferences. And they've shortened it up because it's the one-and-done playoff model. So they've got more time to get those things in. I don't know, Nate, you can tell me if you think it would be better soccer, worse soccer, whatever, if they were playing twice a week. I know these guys can get a little gassed at times when they get those Wednesday, Saturdays. If you pile a few of those in a row, it could get pretty rough. And I don't know. I mean, the soccer will be soccer. It may not be quite as good if they're playing that many games in that amount of time, though.
No, right, it wouldn't be near as good.
Go ahead, Nate.
I was just going to answer his question. It wouldn't be near as good. The problem you have in MLS is the rosters just aren't as deep. You're going to have to rotate guys like crazy. The team with the better bench is going to be the better team if they play games like that because you literally can't play guys three games in a week over and over and over again.
Yeah, perhaps they'll say, I mean, listen, here's another solution. Maybe have more subs. Have more guys available.
Yeah.
You know, there's a way to get it figured out. I know that much.
All right, Todd, Jim Sterk also spoke with the media yesterday. What do you have from Jim Sterk?
Well, big question here. Again, people want to know, is it going to be football? I mean, that's what people want to know. Is this going to happen? And like we said, this was April 2nd when we talked to Jim Sterk. And on April 2nd, he still got some confidence that they can get this done at some point and get out there playing football.
What we're trying to do is prepare for fall. And so if in-person activities are delayed until the June 1st. We're, you know, moving back from fall sports, whether it's volleyball, soccer, football, those the SEC is getting input from those coaches on what does the buildup look like for those sports to occur. If we need to defer it to June 15th, then we'll make accommodations there. If it's July 1st, you know, try to do that. And so we're planning on the, you know, the season happening, and I'm just not going to, you know, really get into the speculation phase.
There's Jim Stirk, Missouri Athletic Director, and, you know, the Eli Drinkwitz, Missouri's new head coach, the other day said, hey, man, you tell me we're going to report on August whatever and wait till then or we'll get ready to play. And that's what, you know, the attitude has to be for coaches and players. When we get there, we can get there. None of this is going to be ideal, okay? We know that much. These guys are used to schedules and regimens and the way they do things. But it's time to adapt and overcome to make sure these things can happen, if they can, if they're allowed to by whatever government, university, agencies that are in charge. They'll have to kind of come up with contingency plans and make sure they can get it ready. But I know this, they all want to do it. Everybody wants to have football, right? These guys want to coach it. They want to play it. That's what they want. And we'll hopefully, if people do what they're supposed to do and the medicines keep coming out and the curve gets flattened and all those things, it'll be a better chance for us to get back to whatever normal life is going to be when it gets here. Nothing's going to be normal for a while, and it's probably not going to be regular normal. Whatever we were doing in February is probably not what we're going to be doing next February, because there will be different precautions you have in the world and stuff like that. But these guys right now have some confidence, but check us next week. You know, football could be done. I don't know. We'll have to wait.
All right, now who else spoke? I know someone from the compliance department spoke yesterday too.
Yeah, Andy Humes spoke. I guess one thing, Jacob,
in that 23.
The first one there, we'll play about the postseason bans, because that's one of the questions that's kind of in the whole world of sports here. You remember Missouri had the rogue tutor situation where it was reported, and they ended up having a postseason ban for that came from that, in addition to other punishments in softball and baseball, and that was supposed to be this year. Well, if they ain't having no softball and baseball, does that count as your ban? They don't know for sure, but there was this Q&A happened a couple of nights ago with all this NCAA stuff. I guess it was 23 pages long. As they read through that, they found some hope in that.
In that 23-page document that was released by the NCAA yesterday, there was actually a question and answer very similar to our situation involving schools that were required to serve a postseason ban due to APR penalties. And the question was asked in there and answered directly and said that those schools will have met their postseason postseason penalty obligation. Based on those things in our initial position, we feel pretty strongly that we've met that condition, but we haven't received any communication officially in regards to that.
So to follow along, some schools had APR penalties where they had postseason bans, and they said the NCAA told them that, yes, that will count as your deal. Now, this is different. Missouri's is not an APR thing, but they're hopeful that that will kind of be an equivalency and that their postseason bans will count for baseball and softball this year since the seasons didn't happen. There's still a little gray area since recruiting is weird right now because there's recruiting restrictions for the Missouri football program. They're working their way through that as well, and if the time will start counting on those. So there's a lot of questions. We've talked about a bunch in this thing is that there's a great big picture, 30,000-foot view of what's going on. And when you get down in the weeds, there's like, well, wait a second. What about the postseason ban? What about this? What about that? Can we get together and have a practice? Can we talk to each other? Can we send them some protein powder? Can we send them a kettlebell so they can do I mean, there's all kinds of things that are kind of the fingers, the tentacles that go out from this whole situation. So it's going to be something to watch. And every time there's a Zoom teleconference or a conference call, I will be fired up to get on there and bring it to you guys the best I can.
Well, we're going to take a break now. Are you going to hang out with us for another segment featuring a montage for the people that miss, listen, or lose? We can't do that with three people in three different locations. We have promised a Danny Cleanscale montage. Would you like to be a part of that, please?
Why not? Of course.
Well, you have no choice. You're in there, and you're going to stay in there. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Todd Lebo, you have been of great service to us over the years compiling some of these wonderful clips from Danny Klingscale. Would you like to say any words before we give you the payoff from Listen or Lose? The Danny drops. Any comments on these, Todd?
I wonder, maybe what I'll do at some point here is get every single Danny drop and put it into one. How long would it be? I don't know.
That's what she said.
It would 8 minutes?
That's funny, Stephen. 8 minutes? No. It'd be more like probably closer to 30.
Also, what
this
I'd like
me
to
a
do...
project.
30 minutes. I have one that I put together just for S&Gs. 7.5 minutes, and that's like maybe a quarter of the inventory.
Yeah, but what I'd like to do, Todd, is because you were present, or at least you were around Danny for most of these, I'd like to maybe take a segment next week.
Show and tell,
just kind of go
will.
A few drops by drop and say,
What's
Todd, what was the story behind this drop?
Yeah, we can do that.
Would that be something you'd be willing to do, Todd?
That sounds like a wonderful Friday event.
Thank you. Well, Todd, introduce what we're going to listen to right now, please.
Well, I guess the answer number four, or
well,
is it D?
No, it's 5D, but we're actually going to start off with a little Todd Lebo montage.
Oh, no.
Oh! Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh! In the park.
What a surprising treat.
We got enough time.
Hey, it's Lebo.
I'm just trying to read through so I don't sound like a doofus.
Yeah, beginning
doofus.
Thursday, Sports Radio 810 will bring you live to update. Did I just crush that? It all starts bright and early Saturday morning at 9 a.m. with Dan and Stanny. Who's Dan and Stanny? Best price and breast
what?
Price. First up, it's game two of the Cubs and Nationals. Then at 8 o'clock, we've got the Diamonds and Dodgerbacks. What's the Dodgerback?
Now listen, they blew it on their own self. You got to score.
Hey, Kansas City.
Your first question comes from the line of Lebo Sports Radio 810.
Sorry, wrong. All right, my question again.
I'm going to say that happened on the Zoom call yesterday from Missouri. That happened to a guy. I can't remember his name, but the way the Zoom works, you push a little button in the bottom that says raise your hand, and a little blue hand pops up, and then whoever was doing the call is in charge of it will push the button to open your mic. And so this guy had already asked a question, and he said they went back to him, and he's like, I don't have any questions. And they said, your little blue hand was up. He said, I didn't think it was, but I've got. But then he asked a question much better than I did. He didn't just beg out and go, I don't have any questions. He did a much better job, but it happens, man. It happens.
Right. I like it.
That's enough. Play Danny
right.
Now. Yeah.
Now the main event. Nate, are you ready? Is Nate fired up for this? Or
I'm here. I'm ready.
All
let's
right.
go.
Let's do it.
Let's hear it. Take it away,
blow
Jake.
Hard. Danny Klingscale is here in his stead.
Turning your wrist over, jerking it.
The hole right next to me, it looks like it, no matter what you did, it looks like it would go in. Sort of being sticky for 3 hours.
What it does to your hair is just hideous. But I've never been in the habit of doing it.
There's a sausage fest here today as well. I kind of enjoyed poking those holes. That was kind of fun. Along with the grass blowing man. It's over there.
What?
Blowing the grass.
Oh, that sounds good.
The same time I get my Coke.
Usually rough with a bunch of boys around.
The lifestyle is what you enjoy. You enjoy the guys, per se, and or maybe you just have always wanted to do it.
I went down on my hands and knees.
I don't need to get poked in the ribs too much, but I'm barely rustling my hair.
That's all you use is the first couple fingers. Now, that's not too much of a shocker. But
and then somebody jerks one.
Usually rough with a bunch of boys around.
You know, and you do look good in a suit, so... That's good. In Overland Park or at the Legends in KC Gay? Whoa, Nelly!
The only thing that makes it a little easier to swallow.
Little taint.
And watch some girls under 12 each and every time I come.
When he likes to pound it and get ahead of you.
I like the wiener stampede.
One where the fans will work up a lather and so will the players.
Yeah, I just went into the turtle and took abuse.
I like doing it, actually, yeah. When there's a lot of kids that come, you know? It's fun.
I just miss seeing you.
A very nice
why?
Man, complete stranger. Hey, would you like to do it? He was very enthused. I ate the whole thing.
He's an older guy, kind of has a little stocky, and he kind of has a floppy haircut. I guess I can swallow that.
Riding it when you're hot.
Old 69 will get the job done for us.
Nobody thinks of it as kind of, you know, sleazy or anything.
Luscious, big,
big as two fists.
I'm going to eat something a little crazy.
Very good. You know, I don't want to sit buck-ass naked in the steam room.
I don't like people that much.
And when you're done, it's quick and easy, and your car gets a thorough hand job.
It's maybe it's one of the worst.
There's
ever.
A couple of them that I don't think ever need to be in there again. But what did I miss? Did anything go down on you?
I will tell you the story of that one right now.
Where's that at?
That's a famous one.
Right.
That's the story of that right now was that he was on a remote somewhere, maybe at, like a following the Jayhawks. In the NCAAs or something.
Yeah, probably.
And there was some sort of a, you know, power outage thing or something like that. And he wanted to know if the phone line had gone down. That's where that comes from.
That's a weird way to ask if the phone line went down.
You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Jake, is that still...
He's looking. He's
someone better not have erased that one.
No, it's not erased. It's out there.
That's a signature.
Here's what happened. In the folders, there was Danny... DC, new Danny, even newer Danny. I mean, there's so many drops.
It's a gold mine. Well, thank you, Todd. Thank you, Nate.
Dig deep next week on that.
Thank you. Thank you, Jake.
Thank you, Steven.
I've given Jake all the time I can. Take it away, Joe Exotic, on Sports Radio 810 WHB.